Welcome to the Believe Again podcast, brought to you by Visit Planner, where we're all about helping pastors and ministry leaders find momentum through practical advice and inspirational stories. I'm your host, Josh Robery. This season, we're focused on something really exciting, and that is helping you relaunch, revitalize, and rebrand your church to hopefully breathe some fresh life into your ministry. Today, I have the honor of getting to talk with Pastors Josh and Rose Snozel, who moved from the UK with their four kids to follow the call of God to plant a church in Raleigh, North Carolina in 2019. After pivoting through the COVID season in 2020, they relaunched Freedom Church in September of 2023. They have an apostolic anointing on their life. They are some of the most passionate and just zealous Christians I've come across in all my years. And I know their story is going to really, really inspire a bunch of you and help you out if you're looking to do a relaunch. Just go ahead and jump into our conversation with Josh and Rose. Okay, I'm so honored to have Josh and Rose Snozel all the way from Raleigh, North Carolina via the UK originally. So if you're tuning in today for the Believe Again podcast, you're going to get some great accents today. So how are you guys doing?
Doing so well, thank you. It's so fantastic to be here. We just want to say thank you so much for asking us to come talk about a little bit of church planting today. We're doing great.
Yeah, it's great. We've got a unique story, just as everyone has, but we're excited to share it. And also, about the accents, Josh, we were just talking about when we first met you last year at the Art Conference, and you kind of paused mid-conversation, and you were like, Rose, I've never heard a voice like yours in real life.
I really haven't. And it's the only reason why I asked her to join you today.
I know.
She's here to bring a bit of British.
Yes. And Rose, it's so perfect. It's like, I almost think that you're trying to do it like just so quintessential British. But, I think you can make a lot of money recording audiobooks.
I mean, what I love about living now in North Carolina is people accidentally start to mimic what I'm saying with a British accent. So I'm taking that as flattery. I think it's a compliment.
Very much is. Josh, your accent's good too.
Oh, yeah, I know. Do you know what everyone says to me? Are you Australian? They're like so confident. They're like, hey, I know you're not from here, are you? You're Australian.
Irish?
No, I'm not Australian. I'm British. And that hurts me a little bit, but it's okay.
Awesome. Well, let's go back to the UK then and just kind of start with you guys' story. You know, I know there's a lot of great ministry that was happening before the dream to plant. You guys done some incredible things with music and leadership and different things. But let's jump into the church planting journey and then eventually get to your relaunch story, which is really where we want to go with this. But so tell us a little about the dream to plant, where that come from, and tell me about those first steps, because you took some big steps of faith and there wasn't any ground there at first.
That's right. Yeah, we were actually pastoring a church in the UK, and we actually had a prophetic word that kind of called us out of that. So we were born and raised in this little city in England called Hereford, where we did church for our whole lives. It's where we were both born. We were married there. We had our four children there, and we were raising up, because we're part of Freedom Church as a part of like a global family where we've been planting churches out from this place. So we kind of grew up in that, building the church. We absolutely loved doing it. We were very happy and contented with our lives in Herefordshire. And we were sending out some of our best friends out around the world. We were sending them to Uganda, sending them to India. We were planting churches in Cambodia, into Belgium, into Europe. And we felt, as we were running the Academy program, which is our leadership training program in the UK, and we were pastoring our local church there in Hereford, which was kind of the base for all this other church planting, we were like, that's our job. Right. So we saw a lot of our other friends and family go and really move their lives. And we were like, well, our role is going to be to stay and raise and release people from here. And we loved doing it. And we loved the Academy program we were doing. We loved our lives in Herefordshire. And then God sent this friend of ours into our lives in 2017 and gave this word. It was like, right, get ready to hand on everything that you're doing. You need to raise up replacements because God's calling you up into something else. And it was a shock. Yeah. We were not ready for that at all. And And then within a week, someone else came and said, there is going to be, they gave us an invitation to come and help partner with them in the US. And so we kind of put these two parts together and we're like, oh my gosh, I think God's calling us to the States. It took us by surprise. But after a year of pursuing that particular route, the door closed and we were like, okay, well, our heart was always to build a Freedom Church there. And we thought that this would be a stepping stone because we had seen through our academy program, a number of people coming over from the States, getting trained up in our academy program, getting raised and released, and going off and church planting, making a huge difference in these different church plants that we were doing around the world. But we could only take maybe a dozen people per year because of visa issues. And we started talking and saying, what if we could go and take this missional heart that God has given us and go and bring that to so many more in the States, and where we could mobilize people for the gospel, send people out, do more church planting. And so that was when we really felt called. But this other avenue kind of broke down and it wasn't the way to go. And that we really felt like if that was the stepping stone, the stone got removed and it's like, we've got to take the leap.
Right.
So we then said, right, we're going to plant Freedom. We're not going to leave it a few years. We're going to start now. And then we had to start the whole visa journey again. And then we landed on Raleigh, North Carolina. We really felt God calling us there. And this is where we were going to bring a team and start a church. And then we ended up doing that in 2019.
So there's a long period where, you know, this word of God was basically on hold and you guys had already made all the decisions and made all the changes and you were kind of in this limbo.
Right.
And
that's right.
I mean, what were you feeling, Rose, during that time?
Yeah, I mean, what's funny is I don't think we had ever seen ourselves going, because we love home and we had loved our period of time there. But we'd also been around this environment where church planting had become a normal part of our conversations. And we'd seen so many celebrations of what Jesus was doing around the world in churches. So it was a kind of bittersweet period because we were leaving something that felt so comfortable and so familiar. And it did feel like a huge risk to jump into the unknown. But also we had this opportunity to stand on the testimonies of what was already happening around the world. And so there was also something really exciting about knowing, wow, when you break ground for the gospel, when you step into something that's brand new, Jesus really does show up for you. He really does meet you in the risk. And so that was also, it was exciting because so much of what we were living at that time, it was great and it was passionate and it was bold, but it was familiar to us. And the opportunity to step into the unfamiliar, it was exciting, but we'd sold our house. We'd taken our kids out of school. I had just had our fourth child. We were kind of living out of boxes. We'd sold a lot of our possessions. The first thing had fallen through. We were starting the visa process again with, you know, a lot of uncertainty. And so it was for sure daily a decision to choose. God, you've called us to this. You have asked us to be obedient in this. You are going to follow through. You are with us in this. We don't see it right now. We're not sure what's going to happen. You know, you have to kind of shake yourself up every day and decide, I'm still going to believe what you said, God. You're calling us to something. Sick. We just don't know what it is yet.
Well, you know, I think that story resonates with a lot of church planters because it's not the first time I've heard a story like that. And there's so many church planters that even come through ARC that we forced that waiting period on them. They make a lot of decisions to move on. ARC's like, hey, you're not quite there yet. We want you to wait. And, you know, I relate to y'all's story so much because Amy and I went through pretty much a very similar situation, what you guys experienced, where we were reading our Bibles one day and we were praying about our future. And we kind of like fasted and went away and we came back and we felt like we had a Genesis 12, 1-3 word where God told us to go, to leave everything we've known that we were comfortable with and had loved our whole lives and given our lives to. And after we went, he would show us where we would land. And we're just not those kind of people. You know, we're just kind of faithful, you know, put our head down, you know, through good and bad, serve. But this was a radical word. And the fact that both of us got that same thing and we came back in the day and we're fasting, we felt like it was God. And when we took those steps to do that, there was a lot of confirmation along the way, but it did not go the way we thought it would. And we ended up stepping out of ministry for 2.5 years. Wow. And it was a rough time where that first year, We just served at a church, and there was opportunities to go work at other churches. It wasn't because of a moral failure or anything like that. It was a recalibration on our, an intentional recalibration on our part. And we just felt God say, hey, you have served in the church your whole life. You've become great servants, but you need to become a son and daughter again and learn how to receive. And it changed everything about us. But those days are really, really hard. And now that we're on the other side of it and we have found that place that God was leading, these wide open spaces, like our life is so wonderful. Like it's just amazing how great our life is now. But I miss those days. You know what I'm saying? Like there are times where like, I'm like, oh man, we didn't have any money whatsoever. And the only thing I could bring Sophie to do was I'd bring her to the mall to play on like the kitty germ infested foam play toys there that they have. And I miss that.
Yeah. There is something really beautiful about the waiting. And I think we are now so grateful for us that we went through that waiting season, because we didn't realize, but obviously it turned out that we were about to plant into the US at a time when everything was going to be forced to wait again. And so knowing that we had the experience of God's been faithful in that waiting season in the past, and we got to know him in a new way in that, it set us up for what we were about to step into.
So you guys went through that season. It was, you know, like we shared, it was hard, but also special. And but then you're in Raleigh. And I guess there's two parts I want you to talk about this first section of your journey in the U.S. is one is like, give us an overview of like, hey, what were those years like before you relaunched it? But two, when you first got started, like what were some of the things you were doing to get going as a church when you first got here?
So we ended up moving here and starting within 2 weeks something, because we had about a dozen people with us. And so we're very like at freedom. Our kind of mentality is like, why wait? Just get on with it. Let's just go. So we visited a couple of other churches, see what God was doing in the area. And we're like, yeah, we think we're ready now. So we opened up our home and we just invited anyone and everyone. We were very zealous, evangelistic, and managed to fill our home with about 30 people. And we had around a dozen people move with us, some from the UK, some from South Carolina, because we had some friends from there that came with us. And we started gathering, and it was awesome. And then we got into a place in downtown, and we rented another church's foyer. And we were just in their foyer space. And it was a small foyer, but we just, like, we want it to be compact and, you know, have some atmosphere and energy. And they were like, we've got the whole auditorium you can have for the same price. And we were like, no, we want the foyer. That's where we're at. So we had our pipe and drape. And it was a really small setup. And we started gathering people. And it was great. We had this little kind of community, 40, 50 people there. And it was... it was very small, basic, but we started building something of value, which was great. But then, you know, fast forward into March, and we obviously have COVID, as everyone went through. We then lost everyone that we'd really connected to, virtually everyone in those first few months, because they'd only known us a little while. They weren't really willing to go and do church online with us. You know, they were just getting to know us. And so after that, we then did, probably in the summer, we then pivoted to doing house churches, because the governor kind of put a shutdown on doing anything more than 25. So we just did some small house churches, which we were, you know, super grateful. We had friends in the UK, they couldn't meet at all. So we're like, okay, at least we can get house churches going and we can get these growing. And so we did that. We just pivoted, and that we did that for about a year. At first, we absolutely loved it. We were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We're getting breakfast together. We're the Church of Acts. This is so good. And then after like 6-9 months of people turning up at your house for breakfast, and we're like, take me back to a building, please. I want to worship with other people. I want to like, I don't want to do any more TV worship. I'm done with that. So we then changed again to a community center. Like the day that the governor opened things up that you could publicly meet again, we were the first booking in one of their, the government facilities here, one of the community centers. So we were like, had it, we booked it. We were met there for about a year, which was really great, but limited in what we could do. Things like, it was Easter and they were like, oh, we're closed for Easter. We're like, we're a we're a church. We need to be open for Easter. I'm begging you. So we begged and got our way in there. And then we got a building.
Yes. Then we managed to find an old warehouse. It's actually an old nightclub in Raleigh, and it had some really interesting wall art and some kind of undesirable styling. But we got in there and started to turn that around, hoping that it would be a quick job and that we could just open up our doors and get back to being church again, get back to doing what we love, gathering together, serving together, and worshiping together. And it turned into a really, really long project. But again, all of that waiting, I feel like God's just been preparing us for everything. And it was a fun project as well as being a hard and prolonged project. It was really fun. So it's been quite a journey up into us kind of stepping into that art conference. But it's had its highs and lows.
Definitely. We thought we'd be open for, so we got the building in June 22. We're leasing it, and then we want to make some renovations to it, put some kids' rooms in, get rid of some of the old decor. And then we ended up having to get the permits for it and working with the city. We thought we'd be open fall 22. And then we had so many problems with permits, etc. You know, foreigners coming from another nation.
We don't know.
We don't know. We're learning things. And we then did not have any plumbing from, I think it was around December until June. Mm. So we were having church in this building. It was a construction site. There was dust. There was materials everywhere. There was porta-johns outside the front. It was terrible. It was embarrassing. We stopped like doing online advertising. We're like, we don't actually want to bring people to church right now. You know, the people that came in that period, they were like die-hard people. Brave. We had one couple who told us, we pulled into the parking lot and we looked around and we said, we're never coming here again.
And then some of our group leaders.
Yeah, so. And they walked through the doors and they absolutely loved it because they met our people and they found community and they found their place. But on the outside with the porta johns and with our bright yellow frontage that we had, it was not a good look.
Well, I just, we're going to get into some of the things you guys did to relaunch well, and you just did an amazing job with that. But, you know, I guess I just kind of want to keep going back to the fact that you guys had this dream, you made all these changes, you got delayed for a year, couldn't even come here. You come here, then you have COVID, you can't meet, and you get a building and you can't do what you're going to do in the building. We're now basically, 4 years into this, right?
Yeah.
This mm-hmm. dream, and it hasn't even manifested yet. So again, you know, how did you keep, you guys have, so you're special in the sense, and I knew this from the first couple conversations, y'all have a zeal and a passion for God that's kind of unrivaled. There's nothing that's going to slow you down. And so part of it's just kind of baked into, you know, who you've become over the years. But, you know, just kind of speak to that one more time, you know, like, hey, how are you keeping positive? You know, I'm sure there had to be a dark night of the soul where you're like, we need to go home at some point. Was that ever a possibility for y'all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely really wrestled with that because I think not only being a church planter and having all of the hopes for the church, but also being a mother, being, you know, away from family, particularly in some of that COVID season where even travel was really difficult. You know, some of those guarantees that you think you have when you move far from home are taken away from you. And I personally really found that really difficult. But I think that, you know, also we did have this kind of principle baked into us from being in the UK, which is you celebrate the ones, you celebrate every individual story, you make the most of every individual person who is walking through your doors. And sometimes it is one. But I think that actually the culture that we came from in the UK, it's not a fast growing church culture that we had been building in the years before that. And parts of what we had seen and heard of this part of America were almost unbelievable to us because we just weren't used to, we weren't familiar with that rate of, you know, church multiplication. We'd never experienced anything like it. We'd come from a place where you count the ones, and we were then here counting the ones and celebrating every single part of that. But I think also once that dream of church planting has been put in you and it started to take root, nothing else will do. And so I think that for us, we just recognize that, you know, maybe it's not the right time to open our doors right now. Maybe it's not the right time to experience this fast growth that we're praying for, that we believe God could do if he wanted to. But you know, he has called us to be here. He has called us to do this. And so the thought of going home, even though it was, you know, maybe sometimes what we would have wanted, sometimes what I would have found easier or what I would have desired, it wasn't the call. And I think that the call comes above everything. The call comes above our comfort. We were called to be here and to plant church. And that's what you hold on to when it is that dark night of the soul, because really, I'd rather be where God is and it be hard than be where he isn't and it be easy. As in where he hasn't called us to be. And so, yeah, we definitely learned to celebrate the ones. We learned to celebrate every individual, every person who we saw step forward in something. This person prayed out loud. This person tuned into three Zooms in a row. This person, you know, has reached out to us and wanted to get baptized. We had somebody come ask to get baptized in our kiddie pool in our back garden. And that was just the greatest celebration, because if one person is making steps towards their freedom in Christ, then we want to celebrate it.
Amazing. Well, let's switch gears here and talk a little bit about, you came to the ARC conference and then started taking some steps to basically relaunch. So kind of bring us through there. What steps did you take? Because you still took radical steps even in the relaunch process to kind of do some things differently. And you know, I think there's going to be some great practical advice here for other people.
Yeah, we were absolutely blown away. We didn't know what to expect. My brother actually works at Highlands. And so he just invited us 3 weeks before the conference and said, hey, this is our conference going on. We did not know what we were coming to, but we just decided to take a chance on it and turn up. And so we did. And we were blown away by some of the things that we heard. And I think there was a bit of a revelation moment for us, is to think much bigger. When I first moved to America, or when we first visited actually years ago, one of the things that blew me away was the size of the microwaves. You could get a whole turkey in there, or the size of the cars. Everything was just the fridges. That everything's bigger. And there's something about our little island in the UK. It's like we almost compact things, and we're quite good at making things small. And I think one of the things that we thought immediately was that we've got to think bigger than we have been thinking about our outreach, about our approach. So that was a huge one, is to just think bigger. Our next thing was that we really caught hold of the growth track idea and realized that a lot of what we're doing is that it's very hit and miss with how someone connects into the church. And what we've absolutely loved doing about Growth Track is that it has been such a clear first step and onboarding process into the church. I used to have my really enthusiastic first-time guest team member with me, and they would be doing the hard sell. They would be saying, we've got prayer tomorrow. We've got prayer and fasting if you'd like to join us. We've got groups happening this Wednesday. I can sign you up for that. We've got, you know, men's group happening later in the week. I'm like, you are overwhelming this first person. It's out of a great place. But the clarity with just having one place where we can onboard people and introduce them to the church, get to know them, has been fantastic. We also totally, you know, we said, what are we trying to take to the people of our city? And I think that there was something around, we're saying, look, we've got this. We love what God's done in our church. We love the story of mission and vision. But we realized a lot of what we were maybe talking about was us. And one of the things that we took away from the ARC conference, from our conversations with you, Josh, which, you know, we were so grateful for. Yeah. You know, and just to honor you in that, you really helped shape a lot of what we went on to do, and it's been so fruitful, is that we took this idea that actually it's not about what we are doing, but it's about them. And it's so we took that phrase that a lot of art churches are using at the moment, about your place, your people, your purpose. We started using that, reflecting that, saying, this is what we're offering. We're offering a place, we're offering a people, community, and we're offering purpose. And that, I think, transformed the way that we were able to pitch really what we were doing as a church.
Well, practically, you guys made some changes too, right? You kind of picked a start date and communicated something to your team. And I think that was really helpful. So, you know, kind of tell us where you were at a church, as a church, in attendance on Sunday before that. And then what those weeks, because, you know, really, we wanted to relaunch you with ARC, but you guys' timeline, you know, it didn't work out. You know, you got rejected, but we're still friends.
RIP.
RIP. No, you guys, you know, are got so much things bigger going on outside of ARC, but we're just lucky to have you connected. So, but just kind of tell us where you were as a church before, and then what those Sundays, what did you do during those Sundays leading up? Because even you invested in some marketing and some different things as well. So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, like Josh was saying earlier, I think our church planting process, our understanding of the church planting process had been dictated kind of by our limited resources and a slightly smaller kind of team size and money size before that. And so we hadn't ever considered really launching large. But when we came to the ARC conference and heard about interest nights and heard about getting a team that are really bought in, ready to launch with a significant base, the numbers that we kept hearing were right around the numbers that we already had gathered. And so we were seeing Sundays of maybe 60 to 70 people who were bought in, you know, willing to go with us through the dusty roadworks kind of stage of getting a building ready. And we knew them, we had been on a journey with them, and we were like, this kind of is a team already. You know, it almost feels like we've jumped that stage of interest nights and winning people to the vision. That's kind of already happening. We have a team, but now how can we make that team prepared for a launch that they didn't see coming? So we flipped around our Sundays a little bit. We had just one Sunday morning gathering of those 60 to 70 people. And we said, just for a few weeks now over the summer, we're going to change what we're doing. We're actually going to do Growth Track with everybody in the church. So we took all of those 70 people through Growth Track. And then we did a few weeks that was just vision. And we kind of said to them, you know, we love when you invite people to church, but actually these weeks, we're going to just focus on who we are as a team, how we need to now shift our vision slightly and focus on something new. And we spent those weeks going through. We did a week on what it is to provide a place for people, what it is to become the people that they need, what it is to help people find purpose. And we took them through some of those kind of core teachings that we wanted to really be intentional about post-launch, set a date because we'd been waiting and waiting for this building to get done. And finally, it was within within realistic reach. And so we felt like, I think we can jump in and do this. It didn't quite fit the ARC timeframe, and we were sad about that. But also we recognized that probably some of those foundational things we can do at an accelerated rate because we do have that tight team already. And it was just amazing then to kind of pitch for last September when we launched. We on launch day had 440 people. Which was incredible. And now we are running two Sunday morning services and seeing kind of just been notching over that 250 across both and seeing that start to accelerate, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it's been incredible. And we've absolutely loved doing it. And it has been very like, this is what we moved here for. Yeah. And I think one of the big things is that in the first 4 years of being here, we probably count on one hand how many people that we'd seen make a decision for Christ. You know, a lot of what we saw was like people growing in their faith, being discipled. Since that last 6 months, we've seen 105 responses to salvation in that last 6 months, where, you know, that was more people than there was in the church a year ago. So it's been incredible what God's been doing in this last 6 months. And when we were marketing it, we did a billboard that we put up. We ended up, and I think one of the things when we first talked about our relaunch, I think a lot of our team were like, oh, okay, sounds good. But when we started talking about the scale of which we were doing it and what we were investing into it, it started to almost open their eyes to, oh, we're really going for this. Mm. We're really wanting to do something that's very different from what we have been doing. And so we saw, we ended up doing almost 100,000 mailers. We put, I think $6,000 in social media advertising. So I went and attended one of the breakouts at the ARC conference about marketing with Pastor Brad Hampton. And it's that it was so good, and it helped open my eyes to be like, this is how to do it. This is how. And one of the things that impacted me was when we were planning to do everything was that when you've got the story of the prodigal son, there's this moment of revelation where he knows that he has to turn back and go home. But the key is that he knows the way home. There's a map, there's a route where he like, okay, if I follow this road. And one of the things that I realized was that people might be going through it in our city every single day, but there's no map for them. They don't know the route because we're not on the map. They're not aware of us. And so one of our big pitches was like, I want us to make sure that everyone knows when I have that moment, when I'm feeding the pigs and I've had enough and I want to go home, this is the road. Yeah. So we've got to put ourselves on the map and let everyone know we're here.
Man, that was powerful. I'm going to be stealing that and using it at our future art trainings. So just know that Roadmap Home is now going to be branded by ARC. So
I'm glad. I'll give you something back.
I'll give you credit the first time. The second time I'll say, you know, a friend of mine once said, and then the third time it's going to be, you know, I always say.
I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad it goes that way as well. I could do the same.
Man, what an incredible story. And I know you guys are incredible people. And so I knew good things were in front of you, but I just think it's truly a miracle. And it's just shocking, you know, that it just like that. I mean, it was like a switch was hit for you guys and you never looked back. It's just incredible. And so glad that you have your story to tell. I know it's going to inspire so many people. Is there any kind of closing thoughts you want to share about your story, about that switch being flipped? And then just love to hear about some of the other things you guys are doing. So you have a podcast, you have a residency, an internship, some other things that, and of course, we want everyone in Raleigh to come attend your church. So tell us about those things mm-hmm. too. But before you do, you know, just one more time, like that's kind of crazy, you know, mm-hmm. 60 to 70 and now, you know, just amazing things happening. So.
Yeah, I think one of the things that has been really key for us is keeping to the culture that we feel like God has raised us in and given us as a church. It's not about becoming anybody else. It's not about even necessarily mimicking anybody else. We knew who we were and the kind of church that we wanted to build, but we had to lay some things down in order to really see the fullness of the potential. And I think coming into that art conference, we maybe could have had our own ideas about, well, this is what's worked for us, or, you know, we've seen churches planted before and we're going to stick with what we know. Somebody said at that art conference, just stick to the playbook, just do what works. And I think what we were amazed by is there is a ton of lived out experience in this room. There is just an abundance of, you know, proof and evidence that this has worked in other places. It would be crazy to cling to some of how we've done it before just for the sake of, you know, our own personal lens and experience. We need to tap into what's out there. And I think that's what was so powerful for us is
definitely.
It doesn't mean we have to shift everything. We're going to stick with our who culture and our DNA, but we also need to come under this flow of what is happening out through these churches, lay down some of our ideas, lay down some of the ways that we've done it before, and be willing to say, hey, God, you've called us to this place. You've literally made a doorway open for us to even come to this conference. You want us to learn something. So we don't want to get tied up with what we've done before, what we've thought before, what we've seen before. We want to jump into what is happening right now. And that means being open and ready to lay down some of the things we've done before and do it this way. And it's just proved so valuable to us. So I'm so grateful that we kind of were able to do that.
Definitely. I think that, you know, we had planted and we've been involved in, I've overseen other pastors planting dozens of churches into some of the really difficult parts of the world, planting internationally. And, you know, get over 30 odd churches, maybe been involved in planting in some way. And you think, I know quite a lot about church planting. I'm, you know, quite knowledgeable, quite experienced. And then we attended ARC and it's like, hey, we've planted over 1,000 churches. Like, okay, I think there might be some things to learn here. And we've never really accessed a church planting network like that before. And so it really, I think, was a place of humility to just go, do you know what? We've got so much more to learn. And there's, and having that posture where you're still open to, no matter your experience or what you've done so far, actually to lay it down and say, I'm still willing. I'm still open. I want to do whatever we can to be fruitful for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Amazing. So tell us how we can stay in touch with you guys.
Well, we talk a lot about our, so you've obviously probably picked up from what we said, is that we're part of almost a family of churches, Freedom Church, that is based out of the UK, and then we've been planting in other places. We do something called the Freedom Podcast, which is available on all platforms, where you can connect into our journey, our story. I get to connect with our senior pastor, who's my dad, who so we have this great relationship, and I get to just pull wisdom from him on a bi-weekly basis. And then we also interview people around the church as well and just hear about their stories and journey, so you can connect into that. But we also run this this residential academy program in the UK too.
Yeah, I think if anybody's listening and feels that stir, feels that call to want to equip themselves for church planting, we realized when we began church planting that we're going to need some people who know how to do this, know how to jump into this. And typically in the UK, there's not a ton of options regarding training for kind of non-denominational church planting. And so we just started something ourselves, and we do an academy program through Freedom Church that raises leaders into church planting, whether that is international or local, that we've been doing for about 13 years and have just seen so many incredible church planters come out of that. So that's something that we're passionate about too.
Awesome. Well, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much for doing this today. And I know I'm going to see Josh in a few days on a retreat. And thank you. Hope you guys have a great rest
of your
week.
Thank you so much for having us, Josh.
As we wrap up today's episode, I want to extend a huge thank you to Josh and Rose for taking time out of their day to share their story. I hope you found it helpful. I just enjoyed talking with them so much, and I'm sure you enjoyed hearing from them as well. You can find out more about Freedom Church Raleigh at freedomchurchraleigh.com. You can follow them on Instagram at Josh Snozel and at Rose Snozel. They also have the Freedom Podcast you can check out wherever you get your podcasts. And I don't want to end without once again mentioning our sponsor, Visit Planner. We could not do this without them, and they are the perfect sponsor with what we're trying to do this season, which is help people get momentum for their church. If you're looking to increase the number of first-time visitors to your church, Visit Planner can be a solution for you. Their full-service platform combines targeted advertising with powerful engagement software to help you double your monthly first-time visitors. And I just want to let you know that the software that they use is just as valuable as the social media ads that they run for you. It can really, really help your church. So schedule your free demo today at visitplanner.church, and be sure to mention the Believe Again podcast when you do. Let Visit Planner help you make a lasting impact in your community. And thank you so much for tuning in to the Believe Again podcast today. It's been a joy having you with us, and I can't wait for you to join us next time. Until then, keep leading and believing strong.